Good morning. It's so good to be back with you guys. This really has become home for me because, I was thinking about how much this church means specifically because the connection, primary connection for me has been with your pastors, Kevin and Dudley. And so I was thinking, that passage about how Jesus said, I have sheep that you don't know of. I'm sort of one of those sheep that Kevin has in other places. Because your pastor, God uses your pastors in really interesting ways. And I know that Kevin ministers wherever he goes. And I'm just amazed and blessed by their heart. So thank you, Kevin and Dudley, for adopting me and for really extending that love that you had with my mother and father. And for extending it to me. And church, thank you, because every time I've been able to be blessed to come here and be with you, you all have just warmly embraced me and accepted me. And this really has, and you've even commissioned me. This is, you all have been my commissioning church. I don't know if you realize that, but the way that God has used you, it seems that God brings me here just before he's about to send me out on something really scary. So you guys are the people to go to get prayer. And anyway, I'm just really, really, really glad to be here this morning. I so wish my family could be with me as well. My wife and my two boys that Kevin talked about. That's the only little, if I could complain, which I won't, I would love to have my wife and kids with me. I have been on the road now I wasn't planning to be on the road for this long, but because of Billy's passing, I had to head straight there from my time in Cuba. I'm 2 hours from Charlotte, so I raced up the hill, got there at 2:30 in the morning, and my wife had suits and clean shirts ready for me, and I turned around and went right back down, and I've been home about 3 or 4 days in between. So a little bit road weary, but my heart is full, and I really do believe that God has something very special and particular for all of you that are here. I know we're missing some folks. I know that some of the families is not here, but that's all right. The people that are here are supposed to be here, and God has something for you this morning. Amen? So what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray and ask the Lord to get me out of the way so that he can move, all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for this wonderful time in your presence. We pray now and ask that you would just continue to be with us as we talk about you, as we give you praise, as we look into your word, as we thirst for righteousness, as we thirst for the spiritual food that we need. You know what we need, Father. So I pray that you'll minister to us. I pray that you would, in some way, take my own jumbled thoughts and get them out of the way and just speak through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, for your glory we ask. Amen. Here's what I feel God has for us this morning, for you. And it's something that kind of God began working in my heart while I was in Cuba this last time. And it has to do with, we were singing about it this morning, about words like never ending, everlasting, from everlasting. What do these really mean to us? Is there anything in our experience that we know about that we in our present condition touch, feel, experience that has anything to do with that? It's very difficult for us to really understand what never-ending, everlasting, forever means. And I think God wants to give us an insight into that because it has everything to do with how you live your life now, today. Let's go to Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 3. So, let's read it up there because I'm not sure if my version is going to match what's up here, but let me just read it. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's what I felt the Lord had for you today. You are mine. You belong to God. You belong to God. We go through life, and we go through a lot of pressures in life, and we wonder often, what is this all about? Is this really all there is? Why am I going through this? What purpose could there possibly be? Am I confused? Did I make a mistake somewhere? Right? And on and on and on and on. Questions like that that just rack our brain. But through it all, God wants you to hear what he's saying to you. He created you. He gave you your name. He knew you before the foundation of the earth, and you are his. It goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Let's hold right there for a second. It doesn't say if. It says when. Two times. I'm reminded of a line from one of my favorite movies, Princess Bride. Very deep, serious movie. I think my brother-in-law cracks me up. He knows the whole movie, line for line, all the way through, and can quote it. But there's a line in there about, you know, they're selling you something. If they tell you you're never going to have any problems and life's going to be good, they're selling you something. So anybody who tells you that when you come to Christ or you become a Christian, start giving your funds to a particular ministry, that you will not have anything but blessing, they're selling you something. That's not the scripture. The scripture says when you go through it. And there is no escaping. In this life, because we're broken in the relationship with God was broken because it's not the way he intended it to be, because this is not the paradise he created, because of our own sin, because we need that blood to save us from our own unrighteousness, we are living in a broken world, and we will go through difficulty. You will face difficulty in your life. But you're not alone. You're not alone, and it's not random. I think one of the things that's really difficult for us to get our heads around and our hearts around as dependent children of the Father is, why does this have to happen? And there is purpose in the storm. There is purpose in the fire. There's purpose in being in the flood. And here's the hard thing to understand. The word in some places, I think it's Psalm 107, talking about storms in the sea, God says, I send those storms. Why would God do something? Why would he send a storm on his people? Because he loves you. That's why. Because he wants you close to him. Not because he wishes you ill, but because he knows that we need those things in our lives to remind us who we are, who we belong to, what our purpose is. And that would seem so capricious, that would seem so crazy, that would seem like such an unloving thing for a loving God to do unless we had our bearings straight. And our bearings, I hope we see this morning, I trust that the Lord will help us see this morning, our bearings have to do with that everlasting concept, that forever concept, that never-ending concept. What does that have to do with? But let's finish up this the passage here that I feel the Lord has for us. The third verse of Isaiah 43, God says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, one who saves you. We need to be saved from something. That's what that word means. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. And that goes on. But the word for us today is, I am God, I'm the Holy One, and I am your Savior. You are mine. Amen? What a precious word. What an amazing word. Because everything else in our life tells us we're lost, we're on our own. If it's going to be, it's up to me. You know, fake it till you make it, and on and on and on and on. Right? And that becomes nothing but a driving slavery that you, even if you're successful at it, even if you're able to fake it, even if you're able to look good, even if you are the Joneses everyone else is trying to keep up with, you yourself know there's nothing to it. You yourself know you can't sleep with your own self at night, because what's it all about, really? What's it? There's nothing to this. And what God wants us to see is the main point that's going to make sense of all this, the main purpose for your life, the thing that's going to empower you and strengthen you. And so to do that, I want to go to a really well-known passage in Psalm 23, verse 6, the end of a very well-known passage in the Bible. I'm not going to read the whole chapter is only six verses. It wouldn't be that big deal. But where I want to focus today and cut straight to the chase is in Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, about the Good Shepherd, and we are his sheep. At the end, it says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When I was a kid, we used to sing this song, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow," right? I was always wondering who Shirley is. Who is this lady Shirley? And why is she following me? Thank God she's good. So funny. Or it's like, our kids sometimes, you know, it's amazing to see life through the eyes of a kid, you know, sadly, the cross-eyed bear. Like, right? It's like, there was actually, my sister got me, I'm staying at a little place down on Balboa Island, which is kind of funny. But I was walking on the boardwalk down there. Have you guys seen this house where these people have it filled with bears? Oh my God. That's frightening. So I'm sure that sadly or gladly is one of the bears in there. Anyway, thank you for laughing at my jokes. Here's where we're going. The word dwell. Can you say that word with me? Dwell. Dwell. Circle that in your Bible if you've got it with you. I don't know if you're someone who God has given you permission to mark in your Bible, but if you have freedom to do that, circle that word, dwell. It means the place you're from. And here's what started to flow out of that for me as I began to, you know, why are you highlighting that word? Dwelling, your dwelling, my dwelling, where I dwell. What does that mean? It means your home. Where you dwell is your home. Your home. You know, like just this morning. Forgive your name again. Duke. Duke asked me, "Where are you from?" And my answer was, "Well, that's a little complicated. You know, I was born in Mexico, raised there. My parents are from Cuba. I feel like I'm from Cuba because even though I was in Mexico, there was always a Cuban coffee maker on the stove. But then we moved to California where my grandparents are from. But my grandparents were also missionaries in Venezuela, and they were in Cuba for a short time as well. And then God took me to Spain, where I met my wife, and my wife is from North Carolina, and then we lived back here for a little while. You get the idea. I'm a gypsy. I'm a gypsy for Jesus. And happily so. Where I'm from is where you're from. If you belong to Christ, if your sins have been forgiven by the blood, your home is a place called heaven. You're not from California. You're not from the USA. You're passing through. You are from heaven. You're from an eternal place. You're from a place that has no beginning and no end. That's what God is saying when he's saying, "You're mine." God is saying, "I'm your father. You're from my country." That's what God is saying. You have a country. You're dwelling. That word dwell means the following. Check this out. I wish I could rap too, by the way. This would be an amazing spoken word situation, but I can't. So your dwelling is your home. Your home is in your country. Your country is where your father lives. You get your identity from your father. You get security from that identity, and you have an inheritance. Wow. Let's unpack that for a second. Try to anyway, because it will take us our whole lives to live that. But this is what you have. You have a home that is your forever home. It's in your country. Your country is heaven. That's where God lives. God is your father. God has given you your name. He's given you your identity. You belong to God. He says, "You are mine." And in that identity, you have a security no one can touch and no one can take away. In 1 Peter, I believe, it says that your inheritance is kept for you in heaven, where neither rust nor moth can touch it or destroy it. Think about that for just a second. Think about everything we have in this life. None of it will last. Nothing you have in this life will last. Not even your body. The only thing that will last is your spirit, and that lives forever, and that lives with God. But with God, we have identity, security, and we have this inheritance that we have, which is forever. We will have that forever. You will have that from everlasting to everlasting. That is why God sends the storms, because we forget this. We forget this and we start living in the now, and we start letting the now guide our choices, and we start letting the now question our identity, and so we become insecure and we make poor choices that affect eternity. Or am I the only one that has gone through that? All right? And this is where we are, and so we end up chasing our tail, and we end up needing the approval of others, and we end up forgetting who we really are, and we end up forgetting that we have an inheritance and a name and a father and a home and a country. And that's why we were sent here. It wasn't by chance. You have a purpose in this life. You have been chosen by God. He has revealed his truth to you. He has revealed to you that you're a sinner, that you needed saving from your sins. And I trust that everyone here has said, yes, God, that's me. Please forgive me and make me yours. If you haven't, please make that decision. Please surrender your life to God and accept the gift that Jesus Christ has given you in buying eternal life for you through his blood on the cross and through his resurrection power, because that resurrection power is what we need then to go through the storms. We will go through every storm in life by the same power that raised Jesus from the cross. That is a mystery I do not understand. I can't begin to explain it this morning, but it is true. It is there. So the logic in the world will say, and I heard our pastor back in North Carolina say this last week, just rang, it wasn't last week, it's like 6 weeks ago now. Said, the logic of the world is, if God is loving, if there is a God and he's all loving, and yet there are storms that we see that are devastating and wreak so much havoc, then God does not exist. Because a loving God would not send that kind of devastation upon his own creation. And that makes sense to the worldly mind, but there's another way of looking at it too, and that is, God exists, he has revealed himself to you, and he is almighty, and he is loving, and storms exist. So if God is good, and if he is almighty, and storms do exist, then God has a purpose in it. That's the redeemed way of looking at it. What is that purpose? It's to draw you to himself. And if this was all there were, then God would be unloving. If this life was all there is, then indeed the earthly logic would make sense. But this is not all there is what God is saying to us. This is temporary. And one of the things I wanted to say, by the way, parenthetically, as I was in this moment with you in worship and just loving being with you here today. I'm so sorry that I missed the celebration of your Father's Day this last year. I heard it was amazing, and I'm so glad, church, that you celebrate your pastor, because you guys are blessed with an awesome pastor as a family, as a couple. And don't take it for granted, because he's not going to be here forever. This moment we're sharing is a moment that God has gifted us with. We're together in this community for a while. But don't be sad. It's not a sad message. It's something God has blessed us with. But don't get stuck here. Don't get stuck here. Keep your eyes on heaven. That's where we're headed. And I know it's a tough message, because I know that this is all we have. This is all we see. This is all we can touch. God knows that. But that's why he brings us into these moments where we can just get a glimpse of eternity. Did you feel it this morning? I mean, when we sing praise, that's what we're doing. You're touching that apron between this life and heaven, and God is filling your heart. That's why I was so emotional this morning. Thank God. Thank God there's a heaven. You know, I was thinking also going into the persecution project that you guys commissioned me to go into. You know, my heart this morning was heavy with, that's not over. It was over for me. But there's still our brothers and sisters who are in prison this morning, or they're in some kind of containment, or in some kind of physically difficult situation. And one in particular who's been in prison in Turkey, who's been separated from his family for over a year now. He's got kids that have graduated from college during that time and a daughter who got married during that time, and he hasn't been able to be a part of it. And it makes no sense, you know. And apart from that, I know people like the fellow that I was able to interview and ended up in the video that I showed you the last time I was here, Bashir, who we had to protect his identity with, and he since has suffered more persecution. You know, difficult stuff. If we set our hearts on the here and now, if we set our hearts on chasing the dream of having the good life here, God help us, because that will leave us completely disappointed and completely disillusioned. But heaven won't. Heaven's going to be awesome. Yeah, it becomes even more real, you know, when you have loved ones that are there. You know, looking at you, Kevin and Dudley, it's impossible for me to not think of my mom and dad. You know, they're there. And coming out of the celebration of Billy's life and knowing that Billy and Ruth are there and so many others are there, it just blows your mind. It kind of begins to expand, you know. Maybe it happens once you get older. I don't know. Maybe that's what I'm going through. But heaven is our destination, and it's also where we're from. And that's what God wants to minister to you today. God wants to tell you, and not just tell you, but impart to you deep down in every fiber of your being. You are mine, God says. He knows you're going through it. Some of you are going through very difficult times. Some of you are going through the most difficult phase of your life that you can ever recall. And God is here to tell you this morning, you're mine. I'm with you. There's a purpose in this. Hang in there, keep your eyes on me. All right? The church in Cuba is doing really well in spite of all kinds of floods and fires and difficulties. And they had one really incredible storm this last year. Irma, Hurricane Irma, was devastating. And I could show you all kinds of terrible pictures from that. But God protected his people, protected his church, and they have bounced back out of that, even though we couldn't get to them with any help. God had a purpose in sending that storm. Churches cross-denominationally helped one another, and more people came to Christ because they saw the Christian community come out and help them and build their homes, rebuild their homes before they rebuilt their own homes, and feed them before they fed themselves. The difference it makes, the difference the perspective makes, is that when the storms come and you know there's purpose in it, you don't have your own pity party. You look out and you say, God, what do we do in this situation to get more people into the kingdom? Amen? Amen? Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for this revelation. It's too big for us to get around, to get our own minds around, so help us, Father. Help this truth of your everlasting love for us. Help this truth of our belonging to you just to sink into our hearts and our spirits and our mind and give us this peace that Pastor Kevin was talking to us about earlier this morning. This is why we're here. We need your peace. Come and make this truth of our dwelling, of our country, of our home, of you, our Father, who gives us our identity and our security and our inheritance. Let it permeate our lives. Empower us to go out and boldly share this to those who don't get this yet. Because the world is living as if they don't know where they're from, as if they don't have a father, they don't have an identity, they're completely insecure, and they're trying to establish an inheritance for themselves here, where it won't last. So they're chasing after wind, just like your word says. So Lord, bless my brothers and sisters. Bless them today. I bless this church, this family today in your name, Lord God. For my brother or my sister who's just really going through a storm, I pray that you will speak to them this morning right now in the quietness of the presence, your presence with us, and just speak peace speak love, speak power. You will get through this because I am with you, is what God is saying to you. I am with you. You are not alone. I will never leave you or forsake you. And you are not going through this because you did something wrong, because you made a poor choice, because you're being punished. No, you're going through this because I chose to allow this to come upon your life, to show you my glory and to glorify myself. In Jesus' name, amen.